again for your invite to go come and bring God's word to you this morning. And I just pray that what we hear and what God says to us is going to be not just a blessing to us, but it honours and glorifies our glorious Saviour Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you, would you like to turn to John chapter 14? John chapter 14, and we're looking at verses 15 to 31. John 14. Verses 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and for that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. There is so much in that. There's about 10 sermons in that whole chapter, after that chapter really. But what I want to bring out in this is about our obedience. What's it like to be obedient to individuals, our families, our loved ones, our workplaces? And what are we like about being obedient to what God says to us? And so I think this is going to be a real challenge this morning, because as I thought about this and as I prepared, I just thought about my own obedience to God. What am I like? Do I do what God says? Or do I just throw it away and say, no, I want to do what I want to do? Which I'm sure a lot of us can be like that. But Acts 5:29 says that we must obey God rather than man. So often we can do what the world wants us to do, but what is God saying to us? What does, so often, as we go through this, I just want to bring some things up. As I say, it may be a real challenge this morning. So just a few stories from the Old Testament, just to think about the old prophets, what they were like, what their obedience were like. Were they obedient to what God was saying to them? We have that lovely story about Joshua. I'm sure these stories we know. You know, God said, the city of Jericho, we want this place demolished. And again, if you know the story, they were told to march around. Everybody was to march around this massive, great city once a day, and then on the seventh day, they were to march around seven times. And then when they marched around on that seventh day and done all those marches around, he said, then you've got to make all this noise, shout and make all this noise, and the wall will fall down. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen, isn't it? But they were obedient to what God said. They'd done that. You could imagine the people in the city looking down, seeing what they was doing. they must have been ridiculed and people was having a go at them, but they were obedient. God told them to do something, you know, in a sense that was a bit ridiculous, but they did it. And of course they won an amazing victory. You know the old story about the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and the victory was won because of the obedience of what they were told to do. God said to Noah, "Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to build this ark." And it was funny, we were talking about this in our Bible study last week, and I don't know, anybody got any idea how it took to build that ark? There was lots of thoughts and things about it, but whatever it was, you know, they was in the middle of the desert, probably don't know where the trees were, building this ark, where it was going to come from. And you can imagine Noah building this ark, however many years or however long it took. Can you imagine what the grief that he took, the hassle, can you imagine it? But he was obedient. Noah done what God had commanded him to do. And of course we know that through his obedience, that him and his family and all the animals and everything that happened, you know, because of the obedience, they were saved. And it's an amazing story of being obedient over perhaps many, many years. But they was obedient to what they was told. God said to Abraham, "Take your son Isaac. I want you to go and I want you to take him to a place. And I want you to sacrifice him." Now again, if we know the story of Isaac, he was just so loved. He was born in Abraham's old age, about 100 years old. And he was born and he was loved. Oh, and it just meant so much to him. But God said, "You're to go to a far land and you are to sacrifice him." You know, you can get for us as parents, you know, again, for mums, you know, as a mother and Sunday today, you know, what we think about that with our own children, we just love them so much. What if God said to us, "I want you to go and do something really terrible, something really wicked to your children"? What would you think? You know, sometimes when my kids, when they were younger, you know, someday you could sort of strangle them, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, you thought, "Oh, dear me," you know, but you still loved them through it, you still do whatever you could do, you protected them, you loved them, you provided for them. There was just nothing that you wouldn't do. But there was Abraham to take Isaac. And again, that just at that right time when he prepared him and he was about to light that fire, and all of a sudden there was a ram in a thicket, and he knew then there was that God had provided another sacrifice. Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his own son, but he was obedient to what God had called him to do. And then just the other last one was, which we'll read ourselves at home, you know, Jonah. You know, God said to Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go and preach the word there." And again, it's only a short book, about four short chapters. And it's amazing because it was only recently that I really started to learn what sort of place that Nineveh was like. It was one of the most awful, evil, cruel places on earth. They were just evil, evil people. And, you know, he had to go into this land and to preach. Of course, you know the story again. You know, but you know, God said, "Go that way." But no, Jonah goes that way.
Mm-hmm.
Total different directions. But again, you know, he ended up and he went to that city of Nineveh. And he preached. And again, if you read the Bible, you know, read it. You know, basically, you know, in 40 days, this city is going to be destroyed. It was a very strange and very funny sort of message. But he was honoured God. He was obedient. And he went and done what God had told him to do. And he said that whole city was saved that day. Such an amazing thing. So there's so much power in this word. Don't let's think that the Bible is 2,000 years old. It's rubbish. It means nothing. There is power in this word. In this word. And when we read it, it is God's word. And he touches and he blesses us. And he does many amazing, mighty things through the precious word of God. And I always find it a privilege whenever I can go and preach anywhere, that I have the privilege to preach this word that can change lives, that can change families, that can change communities, it can change the whole world, because this life is a world, is a word that is living and means so much. And so there's all these people from the Old Testament who are obedient, and mighty and amazing things happen. Of course, today, you know, we're blessed. We come here into this place of worship this morning. We come, you know, to be able to be with each other. We can just enjoy each other's company. We can bring our praise and our worship to God. But for many people today, that isn't the case. There are many, many countries where people cannot go to a place of worship because there is no place of worship. They don't have the Word of God. And they suffer in terrible, despicable ways that we perhaps can't even start to imagine. But these people are obedient to what God is calling them to do. And they go and they worship. And even through their persecution, they're still on fire and they still proclaim the Word of God. And for many people, of course, they lose their lives. You know, we can't perhaps even imagine that, what it's like in this country. We are so blessed. How long is that going to last? You know, we don't know. The way things are going at the moment, you know, we can do this week by week by week. But however many years is that going to come to an end? You know, let's enjoy what we can while we can, because we don't know what's around the corner. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, our God does, of course. Mm-hmm. And in this reading, I say there's so much, but there's just three times it says in this short reading, it says in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And then in verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And then verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So I've got this beautiful story that three times, that if we love God, we should obey him. It's not an option, or, you know, well, I think I could, I might, but it's saying if we love him, we should obey him. And we've got to look in a little bit into the New Testament, if you like. Matthew and Zacchaeus, tax collectors. I had my tax number for the new year. I mean, I'm a pensioner. I'm a poor pensioner. I still pay tax on the pension even now. I've already paid tax on it, but, you know, in the first case, now I'm getting a pension. They're still taxing that as well. And they said so, and my numbers come down by over 100 points. Good grief. So try reaching tax people, well, try and ring them up. God, it was a nightmare. But I did get through them eventually. Oh, Wes, of course, now my pension, of course, my pension went up by 10%. Oh, that's brilliant. Yes, but they're going to give me a nice little bit of extra, but they're going to take another load of it in tax. And I thought, oh, I hate these people, I hate these people. But I'm blessed. God has been so good, he's provided us with so much. So I do moan, but God is good. But so these people's tax collectors, Matthew, Zacchaeus, you know, he was they were just not like tax collectors. We, you know, they do it the right way. We take it, they do it the right way. I'm sure they do. But, you know, these people, they just took so much from the general public. And Zacchaeus said, you know, if I cheated anybody when he came down that tree and he spoke with Jesus, if I cheated anybody, I'll give half back and four times back to whatever I've taken from anybody. It's been illegal. So for him, it, you know, it really cost him to become a follower of Jesus. And you take people like Peter, he was a fisherman, had a nice little business. You know, out on the boats, enjoying himself and getting the fish in and flogging his fish and making a nice little bit of money, or, you know, a little job if you like. But for him, it cost him his job. And for the disciples, you know, it, for them to follow Jesus, to leave everything behind and follow him, to be obedient, for them it cost a lot. And we know for a lot of them, it cost the ultimate. It cost them their lives. They had actually given absolutely everything for their love of Jesus, for their obedience of Jesus. So what is God saying to us today? Again, maybe a real challenge for some of us now, because, you know, for myself, I've been a Christian over 50 years now, and I've walked through my life, and there have been times when I know God has actually said something to me. You know, I know what he's wanted me to do, and I haven't done it, and I know it's what he's wanted me to do, and I haven't been obedient. When I look back on that, I'm really so sorry that the God that I love so much, that when he said things to me, I've not done what he's told me to do. So what about people here this morning? Again, only a couple of months ago, it was good to see folks then, and I hadn't been here for a few years before that, and to see numbers have grown here, so brilliant. I mean, I'm so excited to see what's going on in this place. It's fantastic. And so again, for a lot of you, I don't know you. I don't know your personal details, I don't know where you are, what, where you stand, what anything about you. One or two I do know, but you know, very few I do. But what the most important thing is, what is your relationship like with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? 51 years ago, I came to faith. Having left a life of worship of football, which it was, absolutely fanatical in every way, shape and form. And, you know, I left that life of what I lived, and then God called me into being a Christian. And now I look back over my life, and I thought to myself, you know, someone said to me about, would I go and preach somewhere? This was about 35 years ago, about so many years after becoming a Christian, and I thought, preach. I've never stood up in front of anybody, but since those days I've been a lay preacher for 35 years. I've been a pastor, I've been a deacon, I've led different groups and activities, Bible studies, you name it, I've done it. And from somebody, to be quite, for want of a better word, who's a bit thick, because you know, when I was at school at Reigate Priory, they had A, B, C and D streams. I was in the D stream all the way through. I left school with no qualifications. I wasn't a qualification. I'd sort of done quite well in the American Civil War. I don't quite know why that was, but I enjoyed that, and I found that really. But apart from that, I left with nothing. I knew nothing. But in those years, I hope I've been obedient to God. I've learned, I've walked with Him, He's been showing me and leading me, and I've done some amazing things. And I'm so pleased and proud, although proud shouldn't be proud, but you know what I mean. I've done it because Jesus has led me and guided me and blessed me in so many ways.
Yes.
And I hope that what I'm doing, I'm blessing you this morning.
Yes.
You know, that's what I hope. That why, you know, I'm not the greatest Bible study, a Bible teacher, but I hope I preach it with passion, with honesty, with a little bit of humour. But at the end of the day, Jesus is glorified. I preach Him. He's the one that's glorified in this place. And if that's happened this morning, praise God for that. Because,
amen.
As I say, that I'm not a particularly really strong when it comes to really deep thinking. It's just not my way of talking. But my relationship with Jesus has grown and grown and grown. Can I say to you folks this morning, you know who you are. You know where you stand. Can each one of you this morning say, I know Jesus as my own Lord and Saviour. I walk with Him. I've given my life to Him. I just know Him as my Lord and Saviour. And I know that if I should drop dead this very moment, I go into the presence of Jesus to spend eternity with Him. To see my two daughters that I've lost many years ago and all the other people I've lost as well. That I know that my future is secure. Not just on this earth now, but for eternity when we leave this earth, because one day, each one of us, we will leave this life that we are living now. So my main thoughts here are, please, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour this morning, please speak to somebody, because we don't know what's around the corner. You know, we think we're all okay, and so many things happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the future as well. So where is our relationship with God? Where is our relationship with each other here this morning? I'm sure as I'm looking around, we're a diverse church, you know, people from different backgrounds, But you know, we're so different. But Jesus loves each one of us, for God so loved the world. When you put the world, put your name there, wherever you come from, whatever your situation, everything about you, God loves you. You are special, you are precious. And in what, 3 weeks' time, we'll be remembering Jesus on that cross, having died, given absolutely everything, because He says, I love you, you're special. Isn't that amazing? So because of that we have something in common. And I hope that when we come to church on Sunday, that we don't think, oh, I've got to go to church, that's so positive, that person, oh, I don't get on with that person, no, that person. Yeah, I know we don't get on with everybody. You know, there are people who, I must be honest, who really get up my nose. You know, they are Christians, but they really wind me up, they say things, and I'm like, oh,
yes.
But I love them. Yes. I love them. In Jesus, Jesus says to me, you know, we also love each other. So we may not always get on exactly wonderful, but Jesus has redeemed each one of us because what he's done on the cross at Calvary. So if you have a problem with somebody in this room this morning, my prayer is, I beg you, sort it out. Sort it out in love. Before you sort it out, come to God in prayer. Say, Lord, just help me to see this person and that you can say what you say and say it in love and you can put a relationships right. Because if there's strained relationships, the devil will get in. Believe you me, he will try and get in. And he will get in and cause a wedge to split you open, to cause division. And if that happens in two or three people, how many churches have I heard over the years where churches are split because of divisions over so many different things? My dear friends, I hope that you, if you've got a problem, please sort that out today. Please, I really beg you. What are you doing in the church? Again, this is something that was affecting me many years ago. I really wasn't quite sure what God was calling me to do in different things. I know Pat's, Pat's not here today, is she?
No,
Pat, as you might know, Pat and I, we went with her to Mason Prison. Goodness knows how many years ago that is now. And I just remember how God had called me into doing prison. What do I want to go into prison for? You know, generally, I actually thought, looking at it from my own point of view, when I heard some of the things that people had done, as far as I'm concerned, lock them up and throw the key away. That is what I thought as a Christian. Not good. Not good. And where, particularly at Mesa, I visited the people that's on Rule 43. These were the sex offenders, child offenders. You know, even murderers got treated better than these people. And I visited these people, and it was such an honour to actually meet these people and to go into their cell and to spend time with them. It wasn't the thing that I wanted to do, but it's something I knew God had called me to, and I was obedient to that calling. So whatever God is calling us to, it may not always be what we want, but it's not what we want, God wants. And then, and I just go down, I think it was on a Tuesday evening. And to me, Tuesday evening was the highlight of the week, to go down to prison, to go and visit these people. I always have to say to my children when you go to school the next day, don't say to the kids, my dad was in prison last night. You know, I was only visiting, but I had to say, don't say it, you know. But when you knew it was what God had called you, and you probably know the story that how God provided me with a brand spanking new car, which would get from Reigate down to Maidstone, took about 3 hours on about three different cars and trains and buses and goodness knows what. God provided me with a brand spanking new car from Red Hill. Don't know to this day who gave it to me. But someone bought me a brand spanking new car. £300 worth of petrol tokens. And somebody put £300 through my letterbox to say that I might want this money in the future, which paid for my insurance and tax and all this other stuff. And God had called me and he provided me. Isn't that amazing? And I'd done a job that I thought that I'd absolutely hate, and then I loved every moment going back all those years. So where is God leading you? Has God been speaking to you? Have you been in a situation that I'm not really sure? Get before God. You know, get with another trusted friend. Pray about it. See what God is saying. And if God's called you to do something, you do it. He will give you what you want to do. And God will glorify his name. And you will get a lot of benefit out of it as well. So think of that as well. Again, baptism. Baptist church. Again, I don't know the situation here, but who's what? But are there people who have not been baptised? Because as a Baptist church, we believe in full immersion, believe in baptism, dunk under water, up again. And, you know, couldn't do that. But, you know, again, Jesus done it. He was in a river, dunked, and he was baptised. Again, you know, has God called you to be baptised? You know, again, it's not an easy thing to do. But if you know it's what God wants, and if you're obedient and you are baptised, God will bless you so much in all that you do. And in your finances, again, yeah, for a lot of us, finances these days, it's not easy. I understand that. I fully understand that ourselves. Often now, every time I go past the service day, indoors now, I just knock it down half a degree and just let's have it off for another few, half an hour or whatever, trying to save the pennies because we just come off fixed rate, that's right. Now gone on to an ordinary variable, you can see the needle growing down as I'm watching it, so money, it's tight. For a lot of us it's the same. But what has God called us to give in a church? Because let's face it, without our giving, this church won't happen. We need finances for this building, for the electric, the heating, and all that goes on in this place.
Yeah.
And where has God, has He spoken to us about finances? If God won't get you to give more than you can give, knowing that you're going to go broke for the rest of the week or whatever, He will really bless you in so many ways. I know He's done that with Jan and myself over many years. But again, just seek that. And any habits that we have, what sort of, are there habits in our lives, things that we do that we know really aren't right? And that could be a number of things, lots of different things. There may be things that we're saying or doing or places that we're going to or things that we shouldn't be doing, reading or watching on the television. Let's bring those things to God. We say, Lord, what are you saying to me? And I believe that God will speak to us. And when He does, let's be obedient and say, okay, God, I won't do that. I will be obedient to what you're saying to me. So in some ways, this can be a pretty tough word because for some of us, it could be life-changing. But if it's for God, if it's God that's shown us and spoken to us about, then it can only be for our good. And it will always honour and glorify His name. We just need to be trusting in God. Especially in the way things are going at the moment now, life is tough for many people.
Yeah.
I'm not condemning anybody. You know exactly where you stand. All I just say is just get before God. If you're not quite sure about things, get a trusted friend, another Christian, whoever it may be. Just say, just explain. Would you pray with me? Just seek God, what He's saying to us. And let's be obedient to what God says. Very quickly now, just... in one of the commentaries, I don't know if you've ever heard of Matthew Henry, he has a commentary, and he says, the surest evidence of our love for Christ is obedience to the laws of Christ. Our evidence of our obedience is the way that, our evidence is by the Lord, by doing and being obedient to Christ. Let's be those sort of people. Now, I've never been in the army, I don't know about military. But I know that any soldier, they have to be totally obedient to their commanding officer. If they're told to do something, whether they like it or not, they have to do it. They do it. And shouldn't that be us as well with Jesus? When God speaks to us, shows us something, so easy to say, I don't want to do that. But if God has spoken to us in a real way, we know it's from God. Let's be totally obedient like a soldier would be. Obedient to His commanding officer, that we will be obedient to God. There can be no better life. If we're obedient to God, He will bless us and encourage us and be with us in all those things. And I don't know about you, but when I die, that's going to be, I've still got a lot of life in me, I hope. But whenever I die, I hope that when people look at my life and say, Barry, he honoured God. He followed God, he done what God had called him, and that through my life I hope that Jesus is glorified.
Mm-hmm.
I just want Jesus to be glorified because I love Him so much and He's done so much for me, and that's what I want more than anything. And I hope that's for each one of us, that's what we want. We just do that, we just know that. And in that very last verse of what we read then, it's Jesus saying, but the world must learn that I, Jesus, love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Jesus was obedient to His Father. He done exactly what His Father told Him to do. Now, may that be for each one of us, that we will be obedient, we will look to him, seek him, and it may be that what I said this morning may touch our lives, challenge us. It might do, but it can change our lives in many ways, but it will only be for the good. And God and our wonderful Saviour Jesus will have all the praise and all the glory. May it be for his name's sake. Amen.